Well, you're back here for our second episode recap of The End of an Era. Welcome back to Evolution of Snake. I'm Zach.
And I am Madeline.
And we're doing exactly what I just told you that we're doing. But before we do that, you need to know that our reactions to episode 1, 2, 3, 4 of the Eras Tour are up only on Patreon because, you know, copyright, et cetera. So if you want to see our reactions, we're posting all of them throughout the month of December. You want to come join the Patreon. I know you do.
They're juicy. It gets juicy back there. There's lots of stuff.
There's Taylor Talks. We talked about the Rolling Stone article. We are going to talk about the Seth Meyers interview. You really need to be behind the Patreon wall because that's where we live. And if you live in Australia, you need to come and see our beloved Snares Tour, the final leg in February. We're coming to Melbourne, Brisbane, and Sydney, and you need to be there. Evolutionofasnake.com for tickets. We want to see you.
We do. And we're dying to see you. We need to see you now. We're going to do montages like Taylor was doing in the documentary where you're screaming and you're cheering, you're singing along. So don't you want to be in our documentary?
Don't you want to come and see what surprises we have in store for you? Because there are some.
Don't you want to be in our documentary? It's going to be really fun.
So today I am helming the recap. And this is episode 2, which is called Magic in the Eras, which I thought was a very good name for the title of an episode. Today was a fairy tale mentioned multiple times indirectly throughout this episode, and I had to cheer. I had to clap and cheer for that. So we begin with a montage of the fans, and Taylor is talking about wanting to surprise them and loving the element of surprise. She says how insane it was for them to accomplish being able to create a whole new set for the tour in that tiny break between legs of the tour in a secret venue where the dancers had to rehearse to a click track and nobody could play their instruments out loud. Bananas. Can you imagine just like being a fly on the wall? Like you take your ear out and you're just looking around and all you can hear is like,
all you hear is the shuffling of feet.
Clomping on the floor, click, click, click. And like, I love the shot of Amos playing the bass in Wembley and you can just hear like the strings clacking against the bass, but you can't hear.
Many such cases. He's used to it.
I loved that. So she literally just glosses over the torture poets department. She says, I put out a brand new album, nothing about why, nothing about how it felt. And then we go straight into looking at her working out arrangements for the set. And we see her working out arrangements for Fortnite. And she stops and says, this feels like a highly elevated chapter. Yeah.
Listen, the album is a highly elevated chapter. I tell you that for free. I'll tell you, Fortnite? It was highly elevated.
Fortnite.
I hear highly elevated and torture poets in the same sentence, and I'm like, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. If she's talking about Fortnite, and then when she's acting like, I guess we could maybe do some of Down Bad. I was like,
well,
maybe.
This is where we really needed to, we needed intervention. I wanted to reach through the screen and shake her because she said, I am thinking about what I'm going to do. Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? Which again proves to me she wrote that song to perform it on the Eras Tour. I know that she did. And it was made to be performed. It's a song that is best experienced live, actually. And her musings on the set list basically consist of Who's Afraid? A little bit of Down Bad, maybe a verse chorus or just a verse and a pre-chorus. That might be it. Girl, biggest missed opportunity of the world. Where was woke Meredith to say, stop the count?
My question is there ever a situation where she's actually actively working with other people to put the set list together and not just saying, doing this? Like, does anybody ever say, does anybody ever say, well, what if we tried this? What if we tried this? No, it's just Taylor says, maybe we'll do Down Bad.
When she picks the songs, then they get to have influence. But I'm saying, Taylor, we could have had someone else in the room just encouraging you to do that. And she, I really like to see her vocalizing what she wants something to sound like, because she's like not afraid to like look dumb or be stupid. And that is exactly the attitude you need to have. This is why she's getting mocked for those voice memos. But what ended up becoming, you know, best-selling album, blah, blah, blah. The girl who took a risk and put herself out there creatively, huh?
Yeah, that's how it works. And this is like a universal truth. Many people need to hear this. You have to be willing to be like cringy and corny. Otherwise, you're never going to get anywhere.
Do you know how stupid and corny our Snares Tour intro is? It's ridiculous.
Oh, it's the stupidest thing you've ever seen. And I cheer.
And we cheer every night before we went on stage. We would look at each other from across the room waiting to go on our respective entrances being like, this again. And then we go on stage and it's magic. So you have to put yourself out there.
Can you feel this magic in the arrows?
Must can you? She wanted us to know. I thought that it was so like weird and funny and cool how when she was rehearsing what she was doing choreo-wise on the block, she was telling someone, I think it was the choreographer, the first line is, did you really beam me up? So is she just sitting there mouthing silently to herself like a crazy person? The dancers don't get to hear the music at all, clearly. It's just a click track to them. So imagine you're the choreographer trying to figure out what to do, or you're doing the productions or sorting out this weird floating block, and you have no idea what it's for. She could be going, old McDonald hat. You would have no idea.
All you get is, did you really beam me up? That's all you get. And then she goes, na 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 na, down bad. And it's like, okay.
If that was all I got, I would have been like, ah! Whatever that is, let's do 20 minutes of it. That's what I would have said.
I guess you just have to get used to working with the Swiftie. I guess you just have to get used to it and like figure it out. That's all there is to it.
And here's where my beef begins. I would rather, she's talking about the challenge of doing a new set and how difficult it was, and everybody's kind of like underscoring like what a challenge it was. And she says, I'd rather feel this way, being confused about what's to come, rather than autopilot. The show we were doing in Asia, I feel like I could do it in my sleep.
Is this what you were talking about when you said
it was the best show ever made? And how dare you suggest that you weren't paying attention? And you know what I have to say? I've said this before, there was one show in Singapore where I could see that she was on autopilot because of the physical, like the weight, the demand of the show in that heat. I think she really didn't enjoy her time in Singapore. That's kind of my thought. And not because of the crowd or the show, just because like it was not a pleasant experience. And that's been referenced a couple times. But yeah, there was a moment where I was like, that's Tay Robot. And listen, I'm cheering. I love Tay Robot. Whatever she needs to do to get through it.
We love Tay Robot.
But it did feel like a slap. Because there were only two dates in the Asia tour. It was the Singapore show, essentially. Singapore and Japan. That was it.
So she was talking to you specifically, essentially.
Yeah, well, yes. And then she was also like trying to do new stuff every night. Remember when they randomly went live on the first night and then she didn't do anything? And she just saying, I don't want to live forever in dress. And clearly something was supposed to happen and it didn't. I think she's supposed to announce a variant or something like that. But she was doing stuff. She was announcing the variants. I was there when she would go... And this is the manuscript. And the cover would come on the screen and we would all go, woo! Meanwhile, the Torture Poets variant pictures were so boring. If it was Showgirl, I would have been actually cheering because those variants were crazy.
Oh, those pictures were crazy. I'll never forget when I saw the first Torture couple. Poets I was like, oh, great.
Another outtake from a shot of her looking over her shoulder. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. And it's on the big screen and everybody's cheering like a madman.
I've seen this before. So then she talks about how there was a danger. She says, there was a danger that we could have shoehorned something in. I swear to God, if I heard people online being like, I missed the old show, I was going to be like, oh my God, you have no idea how hard this was to do. She didn't see Madeline's Twitter.
She didn't. No, she didn't. And if she had, this was a moment where I was like, you know what? Of course we're going to say, how dare you remove Tolerate It. Yeah, I said it, and I'll keep saying it. I recognize everybody was talking about it. It was so hard. Oh, my God, we worked so hard to make this happen. How dare people complain? Put Tolerate It back on the set list.
You're like, what about me?
Put Tolerate It back.
What about me? What happened to me?
And,
I wanted to hear Tolerate It again.
I'm still mad about the fact that Evermore no longer got its own era. That really PMO. And you know what? It's like, I understand we're adding a whole new era, but I think we could have made cuts elsewhere and everybody agrees with me. That's all I'm saying.
It's true. I mean, she was talking about how elevated the Torture Poets set felt. And again, and I have to agree, when I watched the tour film all the way through, the Torture Poets set is kind of unlike the other sets on the Eras tour. It gets a production level that the other eras just don't have. And I think it is so admirable that like Taylor and her entire team like went balls to the wall with this. They said, if we're going to add a whole new era in, it's not going to be Speak Now where I come out in a ball gown and I do two songs. I'm going to make it like a whole, I think there was probably in her mind the idea that she was never going to tour this album either. So it had to be kind of big and momentous. And I think mission accomplished when it came to putting something together that really was going to gag people. This was fan service.
It was fan service. And you know what? The fans were served. Thank you.
She didn't have to do it. Truly. No. She did not have to do that. So it was crazy that she did it at all. And it was fun to see her being nervous before Paris and watching her kind of like get on stage and do it for the first time. Then she said, going into the last shows in London, I have the opportunity to add to their experience even on top of that. And the way to do that was with Florida, featuring Florence and the Machine. And the performance was cool. It was a cool performance.
It was really good. It was really good. And I bet there are people out there, that was their dream. to hear Florida live, and they were at
someone
that show,
out there.
So I'm cheering for them. People like Florida. It's kind of like a locals' fave. Is Florida? Mm-hmm. There's something very like there's something very just like big and like over the top and anthemic and momentous about Florida. It's not my favorite, but if I was there that night and it was happening, I'd probably be shitting my pants. So
I'd be cheering. I think also, you know what it could have been? It could have been Guilty of Sin featuring Florence. We should have had that conversation.
Oh yeah, we just Guilty of Sin just because. Oh my God, can you imagine?
10 minute version.
I think I would, if that happened at a show I wasn't at, I would have spontaneously combusted.
Yeah, this it would have been like when Hoax and Sweet Nothing came and you forgot and you weren't there. That didn't.
It didn't happen. But see, that's the crazy thing about that is that that never actually happened. So I don't think about that because it was like some weird fluke in the Matrix because it never happened.
And this would be like that too. This would be just like that.
It would be just like that.
The studio, the clip of them. Now we also needed more. You have the footage of you recording Torture Poets Department, and I want to see it. I want to see it. The studio she was with Florence looked so cool. It had like black and white tiled flooring. I was like, where are you? Where is this? More.
Some Florence's special more. Place. Her
Florence's lair. Yeah. Her Stevie Nicks lair. I'm convinced that she lives in Stevie Nicks world. Like she is British Stevie Nicks. British Stevie.
24/7 Sylvia Plath in her nightgowns, no shoes.
Lana
That's
wishes.
What she's doing.
Lana. Yeah. Wishes.
Lana really wishes.
I also loved hearing again that when they have rehearsed the songs on the road that are surprised, they have to play silently in a stadium with no roof. So this is where you get the bass click clacking. It's so funny to me. The singers literally just going Florida.
It's so funny.
And then Taylor talks about how it's so much extra work to keep things a surprise. She says, I need a nap thinking about it, but it's so worth it when we can pull it off. And it's so true. It's like keeping these things completely locked down must take the most annoying, persnickety, logistical details. It must make everything so much more difficult. Like, I'm sure it's really annoying when you have to rent a top secret place to rehearse this set and you're so nervous about it leaking, you can't even play the songs out loud.
Yeah, that's annoying. That sounds incredibly annoying.
The choreographer can't even hear the song.
This is why there needed to be harsher punishments for whoever leaked the Showgirl album booklet. People sitting there
jail.
reading the lyrics to Showgirl for 2 months before the album came out. Can
it's really a miracle that we didn't get more spoilers than we did. I don't know how we avoided it.
And it's like nobody was really talking about it. It was like there was this niche section of the fandom that was like pouring over the Showgirl leaks, and we didn't know anything about it. Nothing.
Thank God. Except for at Dublin, it's near his tour, but we don't need to talk about that. That was evil and mean.
That also rude. Didn't happen.
No, that didn't happen. Then we meet Mandy Moore. It kills me that the choreographer is called Mandy Moore.
As she should be. I didn't know that she worked on La La Land. This is the first time I discovered this. She worked on La La Land. Well, of course she did.
I watched an interview with her a while ago, and I realized that she had mostly done like stage productions, like not like tours, like live tours. And she says as much here. We also meet Amanda, who is her co-choreographer, who ended up becoming a dancer. We learn that Emma Stone recommended Mandy Moore to Taylor. Emma Stone mentioned. And then randomly, it's like the Amanda show for a second. She's like the co-choreographer. She's Taylor's stand-in. She shows Taylor what she should be doing with her dancers. And then she was like, I was retired, and Taylor begged her to come in. I note, there's footage of Ready For It being rehearsed. More footage. Release the tapes of 2022 and 2023. More.
Release the tapes.
I want to see her doing the lift for Look What You Made Me Do the first time. I want that.
Me too. I want that too. I want it all.
Please.
I want everything. I want the 1,000 hours of footage.
Yeah, we do. The 1,000 hour version of the end of an era. So we learned that Amanda has toured with basically everyone. She thought she was retired, but now she's back. I think the purpose of it was that like the Eras Tour is about hard work, and it was about like so many different people's dreams coming true. And Amanda was like one of those people. But we also have a very long backstory on Cam, like just a little bit later. And Cam's story is a lot more interesting and compelling and well fleshed out than Amanda's story. So I was kind of like, this just feels like an unnecessary digression. But I mean, good to know more about the people behind the scenes, I suppose. What did you think of it?
I really liked it. I kind of liked that her story was about like a second chance, and like the Eras Tour was like her big second chance to be like a dancer again. And I secretly I was thinking in my brain, I was like, I think because the choreography is like not very complicated.
She was secretly, like, my knee's gonna be just fine. Yeah, doing this one.
Secretly I was like, I feel like that's kind of why she agreed. I just gotta do a little bit of this
during We Are Never. That's it.
Yeah. But it was still, I liked it. I mean, I get where you're coming from. Like, not everybody's gonna be really interested in that. I liked it though. I was kind of cheering a little bit because it was just really cool to get like a perspective from like somebody else. And I'm wondering, is this going to happen in every episode? If not, that's really random. Like, why just Amanda and Cam? So like, who else is going to get like the special spotlight? Inquiring Minds.
Paul Sidoti hasn't made an appearance yet.
And he will. Mm-hmm. It is law. Otherwise I freak out.
We need
out.
To see that wig on camera. They're going to have to make is the shot really wide to fit in all his hair.
Is that a fucking wig?
I don't think so. Oh. Maybe it is, though, because it looks the same every time.
He's like, if it's a wig, I'm going to lose it.
I wish it was.
I wish it were. I had such a good view of him at Seattle Night One. He was pretty much all I saw.
Well, the hair.
And his
He's noticeable.
Hair. He's noticeable. It's hard to miss him. It's hard to miss him. Icon.
The extended sequence of the dancers rehearsing on stage, I was like, okay, let's speed this one up just a little bit. Let's just get, where's Taylor at the very least? Like, Taylor was not in quite a lot of this footage. There's also a flashback to Taylor seeing the Willow choreo for the first time, which killed me. She loves it so much. She that orb it. Sent her into oblivion.
She thought it was the coolest thing ever. So she Emma was Stone like, was right.
You're a genius.
Emma Stone was right, you're is what I learned genius. From this. Emma Stone, you were right. This is exactly up Taylor's alley, and this is what she likes. Period.
And the choreographer said that Taylor was very dreamy and ambitious, and she has a lot of really fun, hard to execute creative ideas that are like really challenging for someone that's never worked on a tour before specifically. Right. So I thought that was really interesting. I did like seeing her and Amanda together in the ballroom working out what the Florida choreography was going to be. Choreography is such a mystery to me. I'm like, how do you do this? How do you know in your head, imagine how it's going to work? Like, truly a skill that I could never have.
It's very interesting, like how they come up with, especially for a lot of the things that they do, I'm like, I would never have thought of that, but it looks great. It looks mm-hmm. great. And it's so, it and amazing. It's like Taylor, especially because they're doing it for Taylor, ultimately. Like, it has to be mm-hmm. what Taylor wants, not just the first thing that comes into my head. It has to be the way that Taylor likes it and something that everybody can execute. It's interesting.
Yeah, because there's a lot of different dancers on that stage, and Taylor has to be able to execute it too. And also they were choreographing for Florence, who was freaking the fuck out about that, but we'll get to that in just a minute. Something that I love to see is Taylor's working style. We see her like arriving to Wembley and getting on stage with little sunglasses on, and she's watching the choreo and she's giving her notes. And I think that the way that she works is so interesting. She's very friendly and open, but also she's girl boss. Like, you can tell when you're talking to her, like, I'm giving an instruction really politely and nicely, but I'm not really looking for feedback. You know, like I'm giving right. a note here that needs to be taken and taken right now. And she has a really interesting way of telling people that she doesn't like something. So for example, when she goes to see the Florida choreo and she's like, I love this choreo that you guys are doing on the blocks, but like me and Florence are all the way downstage, like pulling focus from what's going on. So maybe can we get up there and do it with you? And I was like, that's a very constructive way to give a note.
Yeah, it's like the perfect, it's like the, what do they call it? Like a sandwich critique. Mm-hmm. It's like, compliment this is sandwich. Great. I love this, but maybe we could try this for this specific part. And it's like,
and then it would be awesome.
Yeah. It's like something, I feel like it's something that you would learn in like a management seminar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think also there is a lot of, this episode is very jarringly transitioned. Like the transitions between moments are very kind of like, ooh, because the Florida scene is kind of the anchor scene. And then we flip back and forth between like Amanda's story and Cam's. So then we get into casting for the tour. And Taylor says that choreographers often want a specific body type and a specific look. And they usually want things to look uniform. And she said specifically, that's not what I wanted. I wanted my fans to look up on the stage and feel represented. And she said that it's more emotional and powerful and connective when you as a fan are looking up on stage and you see someone that looks like you. Let's talk about the 1989 tour.
Any comments from the audience?
And saw a Victoria's Secret fashion model and 100 men with six packs.
And you know what? There's something that's like so indicative of what the 1989 era kind of like was. It was very sleek and like shellac perfect. It now was very, we're in the Eras Tour.
I'm the only girl in the world, literally.
Yeah. I want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world.
And they did. Every single night on tour.
And they did.
But no, this is the Woke Eras Tour. And on the Woke Eras Tour, we have a lot of different kinds of people on that stage. Then we meet Cam, and Cam is a star. Like, Cam is such a star. I can understand why, if you're going to zoom into a dancer on the tour, you pick him. He's really charismatic. He's really effervescent. Like, he's a great presence on screen. And like, even his narration bits in the first episode, I thought like he's a good storyteller. Like, he's a good on-screen presence. So we get his backstory as a dancer. He spent a lot of time in his life being told no, that he couldn't do something because of his weight. And choreographers and other people would kind of ignore his skill and just like zero in on his body. And they would say that he wasn't able to do stuff, even though clearly, as we can see on the Eras Tour, Cam keeps up perfectly with every dancer, like does every move perfectly and just as well as everyone else, and in his own unique style. We learned that his brother is in the NFL and he's very close to his mother, who raised him as a single parent. And he said that he had like no money when he got this email saying there's a closed audition for a big superstar. And he just had this feeling that he had to be there. So he asked his brother to buy him a plane ticket so that he could make it. And he went there. And Taylor said that his energy and the way that he carries himself on stage, he was just such a bright presence. And we get to see his like audition tape. And he said that knowing that spaces like this exist that allow me to be the fullest version of myself in my body as I exist right now, not telling me that I need to look a certain way to be on this tour, this feels like my Super Bowl. I loved that.
Yeah, I really liked this whole part with Cam, because I feel like there's such a stereotype where like, if you look a certain way, A, you're not healthy, and B, you cannot possibly do anything physical. And I feel like in dance, I actually had a friend, my best friend in middle school, she was a full figured person, and like, she was doing dance, and the amount of bullshit that you get when you're not like a tight little ballerina body is like crazy. Mm-hmm. People can like do things pretty much at any size, if you can believe that. I mean, it may be crazy, but like, you don't, just because you aren't a size two, that doesn't mean that you can't dance. And so I really liked it because, I mean, we need year of our Lord 2025, body positivity, anybody, it's like a drought. So thank you, Cam.
We really needed to see this. And also, I love the comment that he made where he was like, this feels like my Super Bowl. It really had me thinking. I was like, for pretty much everyone in this room right now, this is your Super Bowl. This is Taylor Swift's Super Bowl of her career. As fans, we have multiple times described the Eras Tour as our Super Bowl. This is like the ultimate dream, final boss destination of being a Swiftie, is being at the Eras Tour. For Cam, I'm sure, as he said, this is his Super Bowl. For all those other dancers on stage, for Taylor's singers who've done so many tours with her, like finally, you know, surmounting this peak with her, it was really special. It was a moment that I think was everybody operating, as Taylor said, at 100. And I think that that was the purpose of including these like digressions into like backup dancers and like their stories too, because there is this idea that it's just Taylor. It's just Taylor on stage. That's all you're looking at. Because a lot of the times it is. Like, you're not necessarily focusing on what the dancers are doing in the background, but there are so many moving pieces to this show. And the point that she made in the first episode where she was like, when I look out into the crowd, like I see all these different individual experiences and dreams and hopes, blah, blah, blah. That's exactly what she also sees on stage with her, all the people around her. Like, there's such a sense of accomplishment in that.
Yeah, it's just like, It's I really liked that it was like a hard line for her. Like, this is what it has to be. This is the Eras Tour. Like, it has to be something where everybody can feel like this is a place for me to be. And I really feel like when I would look up on that stage, there are some dancers who really stood out to me. I remember when we were in Chicago Night One, it was Yan, you were like, mm-hmm, absolutely
transfixed.
It might have been during Midnights when he,
well, that
like,
was kind of because he was hot.
Yeah, but also like, he does have like sort of a star quality. And there's another dancer, I don't know his name, but I always noticed him during You Need to Calm Down, during the choreography, because he was the, in my opinion, the best at doing the You Need to Calm Down choreography.
Is he the
he had, like, curly hair? Yes.
Sam.
Yes.
I think it's Sam. He also was her right hand man during Vigilante shit, doing the chair dance.
Oh, really? But you know, mm-hmm, something that I noticed, and this is just so random, I'm going to bring it up. I hated the outfits that, specifically the male-coded outfits that they had to wear for Midnight. Oh my God, they were so ugly. Seeing it in 4K,
they were
like
they were like baby grows, like jumps, children's jumpsuits for
men. And yet
men.
You still said, I want it.
I wanted it.
He still looked good in it.
What can I say?
Yeah.
They were amazing. These dancers really were amazing. And also it's interesting because it's the first time that Taylor had a real emphasis on choreography to some level. Like other tours, the dancers were just kind of there. This was very much more like the dancers are part of the show.
Yes, that's definitely how I felt. I feel like, and I don't know if it's because the tour was so long or we saw them on stage for so long, but it's like, these are faces that I remember as opposed to like the 1989 tour. I can't remember most of those people. Some of the Reputation tour dancers for sure, but like 1989, Red, it's all a blur. I couldn't remember them if you paid me.
I just remember the hot guys, which is very shallow of me. Like I remember the ones that I thought were hot.
It's shocking.
That's kind of about it for me.
It's shocking.
Something else that Taylor said that I thought was really interesting was she said, I don't care if my dancers pull focus. She's like, I'm not worried about having the spotlight and the attention on me the whole time. I like to have people on stage that give it their all and don't try and hide themselves or make themselves smaller. I think there definitely are artists where you can see that the point of a backing dancer really is not for them to have a moment. Like I'm not trying to see what you can do. You are an accessory to me. You're supposed to be my like supporting character. And they play that role for Taylor for sure. But also like there are little moments where they get to shine. Like Cam and We Are Never, the girl who brings out the jukebox before Red. Like there are moments where like it's like dancer time.
Yeah. And I love that. And plus she needs time to change her outfit.
We need the ball gown ballerina interlude before Speak Now.
Yeah, exactly.
So, we got a twirl.
100%. We got a twirl.
We have to twirl. So then we get into bonus day. And Taylor's like, this is my favorite day. I love this day. I love to give people money. Taylor is handwriting messages and wax sealing them with her merch store TTPD wax seal. And it influenced me. I said, I want that.
It is pretty cunty, especially the way she was.
When will I ever wax seal anything? Never.
This was definitely a moment where, you know how there's like glimpses of Taylor, the way that she was when she was very young, like Speak Now, Fearless Taylor. This wax seal shit is something that she was doing in the Fearless and Speak Now era. And it's just like, there she is. There's the girl. I know her.
When I picture her wax sealing all of the letters, I picture her in the Speak Now Nashville apartment. That's where she is.
100%. Yeah, that's where she is. That's where that version of Taylor lives, 100%.
Meredith's there. There's a birdcage in the corner. She's wearing a nightgown. That's exactly the scene that I picture her in. Also, something else that I thought was so funny as well, she's so committed to wearing her own merch. This is like a true thread that goes through all of the behind-the-scenes stuff. She's always wearing her own merch. She was wearing on stage with Florence also the Torture Poets Department sweatpants. Well, yes.
And why shouldn't she?
Free clothes.
She'll use the cat pen, the Meredith pen, as she was like writing the letters. That's her.
I wear my merch all the time. Our merch that we have, that's the whole point of having it. I would love to wear my own merch. Thank you. That's why I made it. That's why I made it. So she is waxing all this stuff. Andrea goes, you're crazy. Why did you do that? And she was like, for the love of the game, because I love the game. And then she is shown that the crew guys got a Cruel Summer Grim Reaper tattoo for 152 shows. And someone goes, why is it a Grim Reaper? And she goes, well, I guess they can't really have like a rainbow and a kitty cat.
Yeah, but then
she's got the Hells Angels like, on tour with her, apparently.
Yeah, she's got the Hells Angels on tour with them. And then somebody said like, oh, I think it was Andrea said like, oh, it's because like the shows, that many shows and that amount of time nearly killed them. Period.
Yeah, and Taylor's like, retweet.
Yeah, retweet. I'd get that tattoo if I could.
I love her little outfit here. I love her little plaid miniskirt.
Yeah, super cute.
She looks cute.
She looks really cute.
So then she goes into giving them the bonuses, and this looks like CCTV footage. The camera's like in the corner of
the room. It's found footage.
Far away. And she's, it's a very weird scene because obviously,
I think she didn't want them to know that they were, or not that she didn't want them to know they were being filmed, but she didn't want camera in your face.
Yeah, no, she wanted a genuine surprise.
Yeah.
She wanted a surprise moment for them. Yeah. And obviously, also, I think if you're going in and there's a camera in your face and you get money, then you turn to the camera and you're like, I have to give a reaction now. So I can understand the discretion of doing that. But she thanks them for their endurance, their spirit, their curiosity. She says that their energy gives her so much energy every single night. And she says, Cam, will you please read the message? Of course, she does a little haiku or a little poem. Again, this is like vintage Taylor behavior. This is what she lives for. She loves a riddle. She loves a rhyme. She loves a gag, a bit. And the poem is, we've traveled the world like we set out to do. We've dazzled the crowd, but we missed family too. Not her. Andrea mentioned every day. Andrea's there all the time. Right. Didn't miss family. My full gratitude doesn't come from a bank, but here's long bleep dollars just to say thanks.
And everybody moved and everybody gagged.
Oh, they moved.
And everybody cheered.
This was life-changing money, I presume. This was like $100,000 or more. It really seems like that's what it was. They were gagged.
Well, I've gotten like a million comments about this on my reaction because life-changing money, you know, it could be anything from like 50 to 75. So I said something like, oh, it's $40,000. And somebody was like, actually, it was like they slowed it down so they could try to like figure out what was said. They said that like, it was like $700,000.
Huh?
That's what they're saying. That's the latest rumor.
Well, I mean, the truck drivers got $100,000. So I guess the dancers, I mean, it's insane that she has made enough money to give that away. And it's like, they end up saying that she gave $197 million in bonuses. And she mentioned that she wanted to set a precedent with the Eras Tour, that the more money that a tour grosses, the more bonuses that you should give to the people that come out and do this work for you. And I think that that is like, it is really clever to pay people well and to treat them nicely, because then they will want to come back and do a great job for you again.
Right. I mean, that's all there is
to it. And a lot of the people that are with Taylor have been with her for a long, long time. She is rarely hiring. I guess dancers have to change out, you know, their bodies break down. So you can't have dancer We learned this from Amanda. You can't have a dancer from Fearless to Eras Tour. This episode to me was very corrective. Like, there's a lot of narratives that have been flying around about Taylor. She is MAGA. She is money hungry. And I think a clever way for her to show off that she did something good, but also to remind people at home what her values are.
Well, it could be so, but it doesn't really diminish like what it all means at the end of the day.
Oh, I don't think that it diminishes it at all. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just pointing out that like there was a point to include this and have Cam read the letter and like do it in this specific sequence. I can see there's like a storytelling going on there. I don't think that it's wrong or bad. It's just something that I observed.
I think also like when nobody knows if she's giving people bonus, like when nobody knows where her money's going and everybody just thinks that she's hoarding it all, people are commenting on that. She points out that she's giving people money and people comment on that. It's like, there's no way that it can seem like it's not calculated. So it's like, I mean, I guess you could read into it as being like, this was very deliberate and it's not entirely altruistic, but at the same time, it's like, I mean, it's still like millions and millions of dollars. So it's like, maybe she said it, maybe she didn't.
For precedent setting, it's important, I think, to put it in the documentary, because now everyone knows what she gave and how she did it. So it's like, well, we can look at the next billion-dollar tour and say, did you give away $197 million in bonuses?
Yeah, let's open that case wide open. And there's a lot of people. I saw this. I don't agree with this kind of behavior. I want to be really clear. But I saw this video. It was a white person with dreadlocks. And that a white person with dreadlocks would be a fan of Taylor Swift, but you know, the world is a wide,
I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
And she made it like, when is Billie Eilish going to give her dancers $700,000, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, now, what is this? I don't think there's a very obvious answer to that. No, I'm just saying like that was the thing that she was making. Right. That was the point. Yeah. Like, I don't want to hear anything from your stand bases because they're, but you know, they're not given blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, not everybody has a million. I just thought it was like stupid.
Taylor's also not saying here that she's doing something great. She formulates it very much as like, the tour made so much money and these people work so hard. Therefore they earned this and deserved it. It's not like I'm doing them some like huge massive favor. Like, they earned this. This is money that they deserve. And I think that's a good way, rather than being like, I am so generous queen, which of course is kind of the intended effect. But I think that her intentions in doing it are pure. Like, she wants to compensate the people that she cares about well. And all the evidence that she actually does care about these people, not just like as dollar signs, is throughout this episode. Like, she gives Cam this space, this time to tell his story. She gives Amanda the time as well. Like, it's clear that she loves and cares about the people that she works with, and the people that she works with are very happy.
Yeah. And people need to write that down.
$700,000 is crazy. Dancers don't make that much money in their like 5 years. You know, that really is like
most people don't make that much money.
That's crazy.
People don't make that much money. I mean,
dancers are also usually backup dancers are in very precarious work. They don't get to work for very long. They have gaps in between tours. Like, so I bet those backup dancers that defected back to Katy Perry are feeling really stupid.
I was thinking about them. It's like, I bet you feel like a fool now, don't you? Now we got bad blood.
You got a happy meal and a laboo-boo for doing the 1-4-3 tour. How does that feel? How does it feel?
Period.
So then it is revealed to us, she's back on the stage learning the choreography, and she reveals to us that she can't learn from an 8 count and she has to learn the moves based on what syllable of a lyric that she's like listening to. And I was like, yeah, same. Anytime I've had to learn choreography, it's like anytime someone goes 1, 2, I go, nope, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know where we are. I don't know what that is. That's none of my business. And she learns it all in 30 minutes, like the day of the show. I think it's Amos or either her co-band leader, I can't remember his name, that says it's pretty miraculous that she picks it up so quickly. And it's true. I mean, not that the Florida choreography was really anything more than this, but on the day of,
come on. And then she put Florence through the same thing. My favorite part in the whole documentary. Oh, Florence is going to be so game to do this. Florence shows up and goes,
multiple times. She says it multiple times. She's like, Florence, she wants to do the whole thing. She wants to do every, like, throw it at her. But before we get to that, this is where the flashing back and forth again is like weird. So we go from like bonus back to I'm dancing. And then it's here's Cam with his mom right before the show. By the way, a star gave birth to a star. She was like, I need my wheelchair, but I will be getting up out of that wheelchair and shaking it off. And
I will be shaking it off. And she said, Ready For It is her favorite song. Taste.
She's right. She's right. And I really loved seeing this scene between them where she's talking about how excited she is to see the show and Cam gets really emotional. Like, I thought that reminded me of Taylor's relationship with Andrea. Like, this is another mother who really focused all her energy on making sure that her child felt like seen and loved in the world as they are and did everything they could to facilitate their dreams.
And you can always tell that, I mean, she was an amazing mother because she's got one son in the NFL and another son on the Eras Tour.
Hello.
I want to be at Cam's Thanksgiving so bad. I want to see the football people and I want to see the dancer people. I want to see this come together into one. And you know the food goes crazy. I need to be there.
But she was giving me Andrea teats when I was watching her, like watch her son and be proud of him and be happy to see him. I really wished for a moment where we saw Taylor interacting with Cam's mom. I've really, really wanted to see that. I was hoping that was going to come next. And even just a scene of Taylor and Cam having a conversation. I was kind of like, this is where the picking it up towards the end of the tour and not having a lot of time to like think about maybe getting some, because maybe they decided to focus on Cam after they wrapped and like weave it back in through there. So I would have loved to see, or even Andrea and Cam's mom interacting. That would have been so cute. So then Florence comes and she is so gagged to be doing all of this. And you can immediately see she's really worried about the choreography. And they're running through it very, very quickly. They're running through it very fast. And Florence is like,
You can really see it in her face.
She's like trying to memorize everything. She's trying to think about where she's got to go. And because she's such a fluid and natural artist, I think she must have been like, oh, this will be easy. And she said it. She was like, I showed up. I thought I was going to come and run around because that's what I do on stage. I show up, I get on stage and I run around. And she was like, this isn't that.
They're telling me where to be, exactly and where she, I need to be every second.
She goes, I've never done a lift before. What kind of whack stages have been hosting Florence and the Machine? Get her a goddamn lift. She should be rising up on a lift. When I saw her getting lifted, I was like, she should be doing it more.
It makes perfect sense for her to be lifted. And the fact that she's never done it does not compute to me. She's definitely like a very theatrical performer too. So it did surprise me too.
I think she might be kind of one of those like, I'm a real artist. You know, she's like, I don't want to do that. Like, I just need to be free and like barefoot and like run around. And I get it, but a lift could really help with that.
At least for an entrance. And she looked really good coming up on it.
Naren Morris has done a lift and Florence hasn't. What?
It doesn't click.
That's not
it
right.
Doesn't click.
We need to have a barrier to entry for lift. You have to be a certain level of pop star to get a lift. So, and also I thought it was so funny watching Taylor like walk her through it, because it was like, this is your type A friend completely bombarding her type B friend.
Yeah.
She's being like, hello, you're going to do this, that, the other thing. And then we're going to do it in front of 9,000 people. It's going to be great. And Florence is like,
she didn't like it. She was in a hostage situation. Mm-mm, but you know what? She said, I'm fucking here, so I guess I'm doing it.
She said, I'm here to do it. And yeah. I finally got my answer as to how Taylor knows where to go when they don't have marks on the stage. These footprints appear on the LED screen, and that's how you know where to go. Because Florence was like, where the hell do I? They were like, look at the footprints. And there they were.
That's, I was like, that's really genius. Like, it's elevated levels of stage behavior. Her team really has to be the best team in the world. Because is there any other artist in the world who has footprints show up to where they need to be? No.
Who else has it as an entire stage that is full of LEDs so that they have to have that? No one.
Nobody. Nobody.
Nobody.
Dog bar on the east side, where you at?
I also loved hearing from Florence about their friendship. And she says, we're similar in a way that our persona is huge, but our person is soft. The thing is really big, but when we're together, we're just silly and goofy. And I think you can see that in their dynamic when they're interacting with each other. And then she's talking to Taylor about, because she went to the show the night before, she's like, the most beautiful thing was the crowd, the love and the vibe, all the pockets of girls in their dresses dancing. That's Florence Core. Florence Core, that's exactly
what
she likes.
That's what she likes.
And Taylor said, there's so much joy and femininity with no shame around it.
Period.
Yeah.
And everybody cheered and everybody moved. I really liked hearing Taylor talk multiple times throughout these first two episodes about like what the Eras Tour represented to people, because we hadn't really gotten much commentary on that yet, obviously, because she hasn't really been commenting. She's been too busy to comment. So now, like, looking back at this footage, it's like it was really nice to know that like she knew what people felt about it. Like, it wasn't so distant. And there were times where it's like, she's up on the stage, you know, it's not the same as it used to be. She's not meeting fans. Like, it's not as close as it used to be. But seeing this and like seeing the footage of her and like recognizing everything for it is, the individual eye contact, her like knowing what she's created and understanding it and like how the fans were responding to it, I was like, you know what? Maybe it's not so different after all. It's not the same. It'll never be the same again. But it's like, you know, she's still Taylor. She's still Taylor. And she still knows what's going on, and she still knows how important she is and like her music and like the spaces that she creates are.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. The greatest tragedy for Taylor Swift is that she doesn't have a Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift didn't get to go to the Eras Tour and see Taylor Swift doing the Eras Tour, and that's a damn tragedy.
It's not right. Taylor Swift has to be her own Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift was her own Taylor Swift every night on the surprise
set. Maybe that's the lesson that we take from this, is that if you can't, you have to be your own Taylor Swift. Make the Taylor Swift you want to see in the world.
Period. Period. Well, be the Taylor Swift that you want to see in the world. Swift. Treat Taylor Swift how Taylor Swift would like to be treated. The golden rule.
So then we see Florida starting, and Florence is backstage looking like she's about to throw up. To be fair, I would too. That's really nervous. Ed Sheeran is not nervous because he plays stadiums all the time. I don't think that Florence is like frequently playing to like this level
of
people.
She was so scared. She was on that little chair
but as soon as she comes up, she's magic. She's Stevie Nicks. She's got
a natural.
Her,
she's got you her got no reason to be afraid.
And it's true.
She didn't. She's great. She found her footprints. She's Florence in the Machine, and she knows it. And when she came out, I love seeing the crowd reactions. It's like, this is Christmas. She's such a, like, she really is, like, 24/7 Sylvia Plath. Like, I don't really know how else to describe her. She's a dream. She's like, oh, my God, she's appearing to me. This is like, you know, Our Lady of the Eras Tour. It's crazy.
She is literally a vision. Yeah. Also, the choreographers, a moment that I thought was really cute was like when they were done rehearsing, Florence was like, thank you so much. And they were like, thank you. Like, we got to hear you sing. Like, and that, because that's so cool, having Florence like just sing a cappella in your face. That was a real crazy moment.
I'd be gagged.
So then Florence was reflecting on getting to do this. And she said, you see this cultural moment from the outside, and suddenly I was inside of it. It was completely fun and terrifying. Taylor is my friend. I know her as a very cozy person, but I came out of that lift and I was like, it's fucking Taylor Swift. That must be crazy. It's like your best friend. Like, Taylor does a lot of work, I think, to seem normal to her friends and stuff. And like, I don't think she's the kind of person. She said that she doesn't have Grammys or awards in her home. Like, she's very... Right. Like, when I'm off, I'm off. So it must be crazy to get on stage with her and see, like, the diva.
Emma, oh my God, there she is. And I'm standing here with her. And I have to.
Oh my God.
I got no shoes on and I'm ripping around the stage with Taylor Swift. The realization must be crazy. I like when she said it was like she came out on an alien planet. The disorientation of like the stage is all lit up. There's lights as far as the eye can see. You've got all these dancers around you. The stage is going wah, 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 wah. And you got Taylor Swift right in front of you. It's a lot.
She had the hardest job as an Eras Tour guest because it was like a lot. There was a lot to do. Well, Phoebe Bridgers, I guess, just went up on the lift. That wasn't that hard. You just go up on the lift.
Right. Everybody else just got to show up, including the tour. And
let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Where's Phoebe Bridgers behind the scenes? Where's that?
And I'm going to tell you something. We know that the first round of London shows were filmed because we've seen Travis carrying her in I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. Give me Hayley Williams now. Stop holding her hostage. Give her to me now. I know she's in the footage. Show me. Tell me. I want to see it. Paramore, now.
Even Hayley's like, but don't show the song. Don't show the song. We don't need to hear this. Hayley's like, she could have put me on something better than that. They could have done better than Revenge together. Yeah. Imagine that. Better than Revenge. Two women haters. Come on.
The Better Than Revenge Misery Business mashup would end civilizations. And they knew that it would be too powerful and too misogynistic. They're like, we can't.
They're like, we can't.
It's too misogynistic. It's not in a campy, ironic way.
And femininity. And this is not about joyful femininity.
Once a whore, you're nothing more. I'm sorry, that'll never change. Period.
I loved the kind of ending sequence where Taylor is like watching all the fans leaving the concert. And she says that she used to be driving home and like seeing people walking home from the shows. And she would wonder if everybody who was walking home had felt like they got what they had saved their money for, what they had been waiting for. And she said, there's a feeling I have of such pride and satisfaction because whenever I leave Eras, I never wonder that. There's this magic in the air, all these particles of shimmer and glitter and confetti and girlhood and friendship bracelet beads and magic in the Eras. There's glitter on the floor after the party. There are girls carrying their shoes down in the lobby. Did you hear me?
I'm telling you, we could seriously sit here and just recite Taylor lyrics in
air. Confetti falls to the ground.
May these memories catch our fall. Friendship
bracelets. Take this moment and taste it. I mean,
you got no reason to be afraid.
On and on. I was hand-harding when she said that because it's so true. I remember feeling, will you ever remember how you felt after the first show? Broken. I was like, don't give me one more song. I couldn't possibly stand on my feet for a single minute longer. I've never left a concert feeling like that. I always leave a concert being like, I got a little more in me to go, or you're like sad that it's over. But every Eras show that I saw, it ended, even though, of course, I had the demented compulsion to go to 13 shows. After one was over, I was like, that's enough. Like, if you even just get one Eras Tour show, you're golden.
I think the only time that I didn't feel like, Midnights was always a set where I faced my demons.
Yeah, you struggled.
And this is like my thing. I swear I've never seen Bejeweled live. It didn't happen. It's happened many times, I assure you, but not to me. I don't know what happened. It's like I black Bejeweled out. I don't remember it. But the one show where like that did not happen to me, I really think was Seattle. That was the show where I was like, I can't believe this is over. Why is this over? I had tonsillitis and I was still like, more. It was crazy.
The crowd was screaming more.
Swissquake. We were giving her the earthquake that she needed. It was amazing.
You were literally shaking the house down.
I was. Tonsillitis and all. I couldn't be stopped.
Cowboy 19. Couldn't stop anybody.
You couldn't stop anybody.
Well, that brings us to the end of episode 2.
I was definitely more of a fan of episode 1, but it's kind of hard because like at this point, I'm excited for when it's a whole finished product. I respect, because, you know, I'm anti-binge culture. I fucking hate it. I hate binge culture. So, like, I respect spreading it out this way. But as, like, somebody who has this job, it's kind of like, I already know the comments are going to be like, well, maybe you should wait till the whole thing's out. I can't. I can't.
Yeah,
I have to post.
But
we acknowledge the fact that there's still 4 more episodes to go. And I'm really curious to see what the finished product is going to look like. You know, what is going to be shown, what's not going to be shown, how it's all going to fit together, and how everything's going to look. Because so far, this is better than I could have expected it to be. I also am kind of disappointed that we probably won't get to see any of the like first leg surprise guests. No Aaron Dessner doesn't sit right with my spirit because he was being tormented.
No Jack Antonoff. Night
after night.
Jack Antonoff not mentioned at all. Wasn't he in London? Didn't he come out and do Getaway Car or something?
I feel like he did come out and they did a mega mashup, but don't quote me on that. He did it more than once, but like I don't remember when. So don't quote me on that.
I have a feeling we're going to be getting more Stockholm footage because Showgirl creation was in the middle of eras. We know she was documenting
that. I'm curious.
I'm excited for the Masters episode. That's the episode that I'm going to hand heart like there's no tomorrow. The Taylor's version. I want to hear her in the booth going, do you still feel like you know what you're doing? I need it.
I'm interested in the re-release content. I have to admit, I'm not as interested in the re-release content as I would be in the Torture Poets behind the scenes content. I have to tell you.
Well, one of them is a reality and the other one is a dream that's never
One is a pipe dream. And we have to
Torture Poets is going
to
remain a mystery until we die. It's the new Midnights, except we're never going to get a clarification.
There's something to that. That's kind of what makes her so special. So maybe we'll lock it up. We'll say, you know what, Torture Poets, keep your mystery. Keep your mystery.
I've been obsessed with her lately. Torture Poets has been like...
She's the girl.
My silly rabbit.
She's the girl. She really is the girl. And she's never going to stop being the girl. And that's just that on that. Period.
So we honor her. We will do the Torture Poets Department End of an Era series. Thank you.
We do. Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in. Patreon.com/astrologers for all our reactions. Evolutionofasnake.com for Snares Tour Australia. We will see you soon.